stand up to introduce our very own Jesse Borrell to bring the word.
Thank you very much. Do I see O'Connell on the front row? Brother! I mean, I don't think I've seen you since I went to Noosa, and that's a long time ago. I know my daughter was at your house this week. Yeah. But you weren't. Swaps. No. Hey, son. How good is Dre, though? Mate, you would never know he's only done this like twice. You look like you're doing it longer than me. Fantastic. Now, I want to add to the Forever Free conversation. If you were like, I wish I could go, but there's no way I could afford that $160 out of my price range, please talk to someone. There are people in our church that are sponsoring quite generously so that you can go. And we don't want any extra sponsors left over at the end of this just because we didn't know. So please reach out, talk to a leader, or if you don't have one, come and talk to me or David or Sammy or Georgia. Or just speak up. Just yell it out at the end of the service even if you want. We don't want you to miss out. Cool? Awesome. Okay. Not cool. How long do you think you could go without eating? Do you reckon you could do a whole day? Who reckons they could do an entire day with no food? Just water? Yep. Yeah, that's pretty good. What about 2 days? Who thinks they could do 2 days? Yep, some pretty confident. 4 days? Just water. 4 days. Anyone for a week? Anyone reckon you could do an entire week with just water? Bro, I don't know that you could. There's not enough fat on your bones, say. Like, I think you'd be eaten alive. I don't know that you've got enough fat on your bones either. A whole week. Oh, Cooper is confident. What about, how long do you think before you would die? Not eating. How long? How many? 3 weeks. I'm here in 30 days. I'm here in 1 day. Truth. A month. Let me blow your minds. The world record for the longest to go without eating is held by a Scottish man. Who wants to guess the Scottish man's name? Angus, perfect, straight up. Of course it's Angus. Angus Barbieri. In 1965, went a total of 382 days with just water, black coffee, black tea, and a couple of vitamins. No word of a lie, 384 days. He lost 125 kilos in that time. That's more than, that's like 1.25 of me. And at the end of it, he was the healthiest he had been in his adult life. Do you believe me? It's 100% true. Look it up. Angus Barbieri, 1965. He's on Wikipedia. You'll find him there. And you can see him in the Guinness Book of World Records. Tonight, I want to talk about why we fast. Why would anyone want to give up food for such a long time? Why do followers of Jesus, Christians, fast? Have you ever thought about it? Maybe you don't know that Christians fast. Well, guess what? Christians fast. It's quite a common thing, and it's all throughout the Bible. And there are some very good reasons why we do it, and I want to unpack that with you tonight. So let's have a look at the Bible, shall we? Let's have a look at some different people who fasted. So in the book of Deuteronomy, say Deuteronomy.
I don't even know if that's how you pronounce it, but I just say Judah, Ronomy, because I know how to say Judah. Moses fasted for repentance for Israel's sin. In 2 Samuel, in three separate occasions, King David fasted to mourn the death of a loved one. In 1 Kings, the prophet Elijah fasts out of grief, to grieve the fact that Queen Jezebel wants to kill him and he's on the run for his life. A few chapters later, King Ahab, which is Jezebel's husband, he fasts to humble himself before God. King Darius in the book of Daniel, after Daniel gets thrown in the lion's den, he fasts out of concern for Daniel's safety. Is that big enough for you to see? Sort of. Daniel, he fasts later on to try and understand a mysterious message that he got from God. Queen Esther fasts to prepare for a difficult meeting with her husband in order to save her people, the Jews. Ezra fasts in mourning for the sins of God's people who were returning back from the exile. Nehemiah fasts to grieve the broken walls of his home city, Jerusalem. The people of Nineveh fast to repent after they hear the prophecy from Jonah that God is going to wipe them out if they don't turn around. And Jesus fasts after he is baptized. We heard about that a few weeks ago. Jesus goes into the wilderness and fasts for 40 days to prepare himself for the ministry that God had for him. And in the book of Acts, we read that Paul fasted after his encounter with Jesus on the road while he was sitting there blind, trying to figure out what the heck just happened. You can see that there is many different reasons why people fast throughout the Bible. And we can see that fasting is a tool that helps us handle grief and loss. It helps us receive revelation from God and understand what it means. It helps us take on a heart of repentance when we want to turn away from sin and make a godly change in our life. It helps us seek God's vision and direction for our life. And it strengthens our relationship with Him. I like to sum all that up to say that fasting is making space in your life to process and prioritize things for God. To process and prioritize. It's about opening up the space for a restructuring of your priorities and gaining clarity on what God wants you to do. See, when we sacrifice the shopping, the preparation, the cooking, the eating, the cleaning up afterwards, we're creating a lot of space to pray, to meditate on God's word, to read His word, to go to the secret place, and to do good things for God and His kingdom. Some people say that we're stepping away from the table for the sake of the altar, or we're cutting back on consumption and leaning into communion. Now, you've probably heard a lot of those things if you have been in church for a while and you understand those kind of concepts around fasting. But there's a second layer of prioritization that happens when you fast that we don't really talk about in church. And I want to go there tonight because I find it incredibly fascinating and I think it will inspire you. When your body takes a rest from digesting food, it begins this enormous restorative process to your metabolism, your gut microbiome, and your immune system. There is a second layer of fasting that isn't just spiritual, but is also physical. And these things work in parallel with each other, just like God loves to mix it all together, and He's very much involved in your everyday physical life. And so I want to talk to you about the benefits, the physical benefits of fasting. I've got a bit of a slide. This is from Dr. Mindy Peltz. She's one of the many fasting gurus on YouTube. And she's got a whole lot of research, but I thought her chart was quite good. So you can have a look at that while I talk about some of these things. When you fast, you restore the insulin sensitivity in your body. It means that you are helping your body better to process sugar. And there have been studies done that have shown that people with type 2 diabetes, which is, guess what, you're going to have insulin injections for the rest of your life to manage your condition because your body can't handle sugar. These people, with the right fasting regimen, some of them have been able to completely reverse type 2 diabetes in their life just by not eating. It's like, what medicine did you take? I just didn't take anything. It's incredible. Fasting reduces inflammation, which means that it reduces the risk for heart disease and for cancer all throughout the body. And fasting changes us from running on glycogen, say glycogen, to ketones, say ketones. So I like to think of it like this. You know those hybrid cars? They run on fuel and electricity, right? So our bodies, imagine we're like an electric car, and the sugar and the carbohydrates that we eat get turned into glycogen, and that fuel gets pumped around our body, and it's really good for like short bursts of energy, quick energy, like an electric car, right? Accelerates super fast, charges up super fast, and it's full of energy. But the problem is, like an electric car, glycogen is low on the mileage, right? So a good electric car on average probably gets you around 300 to 400 kilometers on a tank. For those who drive, you know that that's not very far. But like a diesel engine can get you like, I used to have a diesel car, the Mondeo. I would get 1,000 kilometers on one fill, sometimes 1,100 kilometers. I loved it because I was traveling a lot. I used to fill up once a week, put it that way. But the difference is quite drastic between an electric car and a diesel engine. And so when we're constantly eating, we're recharging our batteries, three meals a day, snacks in between, midnight snack on top and an early morning riser. We're just constantly charge, run, charge, run, charge, run, charge, run. But when we fast, our battery runs out. We've got no glycogen left. It takes 16 hours approximately for you to run out of glycogen. So once you sleep and then you wait a few more hours, now you're out of glycogen. Your body has to start up the diesel engine, which is the ketones. And they are much slower burning, longer lasting, stable energy. Rather than doing this, it's just like purring along, you know? All of you like petrol heads are like, yeah, fire that up, purr it along. And that has many incredible benefits on our body, particularly in our blood, our circulation, and our brain as well, because obviously something's got to power your brain, and your brain can switch between running on glycogen and ketones. After 24 hours of not eating, your gut microbiome resets. Now, who knows what a microbiome is? So you know what a biome is on Minecraft? Yeah? Okay, so it's like an environment. So imagine you've got a Minecraft biome in your stomach and your intestines, and it's populated with bacteria, which, you know, it's not skeletons or spiders or zombies or husks or phantoms, God forbid, but it's got different kind of... Should we take a vote on who thinks the phantom should have never been added to Minecraft? Okay, there's heaps. So, but you've got this biome going on inside you. You actually have like this whole colony, many colonies of other living creatures that are like you're working on a team. Like you're a team. You're not even a single being. You've got this back and forth going on. And your microbiome does all sorts of incredible things. Like it breaks down your food in such a way that you can digest things that humans can't actually digest. The microbiome in a cow takes grass and rebuilds it in such a way that when it becomes the animal that we eat, sorry, vegetarians and vegans out there, but there's 40% more protein in the animal due to the bacteria in the cow's gut than if you ate all the same grass that they ate, right? So the bacteria is pretty important. But what can happen is there is good bacteria that helps you, but when you eat a lot of junk food and not real food and processed food, there's also a lot of bad bacteria that can kind of live in there. And if their levels get too big, there's too many of them, they sort of do a bit of a mutiny and they can cause things like cancer, inside you, right? And they start to attack you and your immune system's at war, and it can be quite overwhelming. But what fasting does, after 24 hours, it gives that a full reset. And so all of the bad bacteria run out of fuel, and so they start to die off, and they come down to a much more manageable level for your body. And it gives the good bacteria a chance to repopulate and kind of get more in balance, and which does so many things for your health. I won't even go into them all tonight. At the 48-hour mark, boys, I know you're going to be interested in this. At the 48-hour mark of not eating, who knows what HGH is, human growth hormone? Human growth hormone can increase by up to 10 times the normal. This says 500%, but some studies have shown up to 10 times more than your normal baseline HGH, which means your ability to build muscle and repair your body, your lean tissue, goes through the roof at the 48-hour mark, right? So all the gains, right? Are you interested? There's a couple more. I haven't lost you yet. All right. So because we're improving the blood circulation and our metabolism, our brain is getting all these special health benefits. And fasting helps to prevent Alzheimer's and Parkinson's disease. When you switch over to the ketones, it will remove all brain fog. It improves your memory and helps you focus better while you're in a fasted state. It helps you regulate your mood and it resets your hormones. And particularly for you girls, like guys' hormones are pretty simple. It's like testosterone, smash stuff, build stuff, girls are pretty. And then girls are like, girls have this super complex and wonderful system of hormones that change and there's a cycle and all this stuff and we just can't keep up. But it's wonderful and it's necessary. But when you fast, it really helps your brain and your body to reset the balance and fix some of these things and make sure that they're operating in the rhythm that they're supposed to be operating in. So it does a lot of amazing stuff. And because of that, because it's fixing the hormone imbalances, is also really good for depression and anxiety, particularly at that 48-hour mark. It gets better. At 72 hours, this is 3 days, with just water, no food, your body releases a flood of stem cells. Who knows what a stem cell does? Sounds a bit weird. It's not like STEM at school with science, technology, engineering, mathematics. No, it's not that. Stem cells are like, I can do anything. And so the stem cells go around the body, just whizzing around the blood slides. And they're like going around, hey, anyone need some help? Anyone need some help? And they get to the liver and they seize all the liver cells. And the stem cells, hey, liver cells, do you need a hand? And they're like, yeah, man, we're swamped. And so the stem cell transforms into a liver cell and becomes a part of your liver. The same thing happens. Say you had a tear in your Achilles or something like that. The stem cells will go down there and say, what's going on? Oh, yeah, we've got a tear. We need to rebuild. Okay, no worries. And they'll become a cell that's a part of your tendon, right? Stem cells are incredible. It's why kids just heal from stuff. Like my kids get a scratch and I'm like, oh, that'll take me 2 weeks. The next morning, I'm like, where did it go? Like, are you Wolverine? Like, what's going on? It's stem cells that do this, right? Now, unfortunately, when you hit 30, your stem cell count drops right down, which is me. And that's why we start to age a lot more after we hit 30. But when you fast at the three-day mark, your body just goes whoosh, and it sends these stem cells through your entire body. And so your immune system gets this supercharge and all sorts of crazy healing benefits start to kick in. In fact, there are some cases where people will have a scar from something, an operation or a bad accident. And when they're in this fasted state after a few days, their body, looking for energy, will say, oh gosh, look at this mess. How long has this been here? 20 years. Oh my goodness. Well, we can put this to better use. And your body will start to break down the scar tissue, pull out the core components, and use them to rebuild other parts of your body. And people's scars start to vanish when they do long-term fast. It's incredible what happens when we go without food for a while. It helps us live better and it helps us live longer. Anti-aging and all that magic stuff. Now, of course, there's a limit because eventually you will die. But if you think you can't go a single day without food, you don't know yourself because you absolutely can. In fact, you're designed to. The idea that we're supposed to eat 3 meals a day with snacks in between and a midnight snack on top, That's not the world that God created for us. We've created this nice world and it's super convenient. But that is not what our bodies thrive in. They have this whole other way of being, like the diesel engine, that we often, sometimes, probably some of us never even go into that mode for our whole life. And you're only living half of the potential of what your body's got. So fasting is not just about giving things up. Because if it's just about giving it up, then at the end of it, you'll binge, right? Who's ever thought, I'm going to break the fast with 12 Krispy Kreme donuts? Like, of course, that sounds like a great idea. But the fasting is not about giving up, remember. It's about reprioritizing. It's about making space to go, okay, is the order of priorities in my life in line with what God wants them to be? Or do I need to change some things? Now, you can fast things that aren't necessarily food. Let's say that social media has a giant portion of your life. It's really high on your priorities. And it's not really producing the best kind of life that God would want for you. You can fast that social media and spend the time going to God and figuring out, God, where does this fit in your order of priorities for my life? And then at the end of your fast, you can reintroduce that thing in the spot where it's supposed to serve you rather than you serve it so that you can keep serving God. Making sense? Now, of course, this applies to food, but this can apply to addictions. This can apply to all sorts of things. Video games, you name it. There's plenty of things. Anything that is in the wrong priority will cause death in your life. God's made the world a certain way. And when we change the order of that because we want to follow what we want to do, we introduce death in our life. Things stop working. Things get harder unnecessarily. Relationships break down. We get unhealthy. All sorts of things fail. And that's why we need to fast them in order to put them back in the right priority. And it's much better than cutting them out forever, right? Don't you agree? If you're struggling with something, you might think, oh, I'm just going to have to never touch that thing again. But true freedom is going, no, that thing is going to just fit where God wants it to be in my life. And then you get the benefits from it without it ruling you. Amen? So, how do you do it? Because it's not simple. My first long-term fast was for 7 days. I was going to do a week. I actually thought I might do a month, but it pretty quickly turned into a week. At the time, I was working as an engineer behind a computer 5 days a week in the city. I was driving 3 or 4 hours a day, and I'm pretty sure I don't think Raimi was born yet, but Neve was a baby. And I made a lot of mistakes, and I did a fast really bad. And so now I know what not to do. And so I want to give you the best way that I currently know how from what I've learned on how to do a fast properly, in case you're feeling inspired tonight. And I've called it the best way because I've got an acronym, best way. So the first one is the B, and that is breakfast. Break fast. Did you know that you fast every night? And the whole point of breakfast is it breaks the fast of the night before. Even if you eat breakfast at lunchtime, it's still actually breakfast because you're breaking the fast. Now, when you're going to fast, particularly for more than 1 or 2 days, how you break the fast is just as important as the fast itself. Because you can do what I did and you can literally give yourself a sucker punch at the end of it and undo a lot of the hard work that your body had done. So I fasted for 7 days and I thought, man, I'm getting kind of hungry. And I think a week is enough. I'm not going to go a month. And so I grabbed Geordie and Neve and we got in the car after work one long Thursday. And we drove down to Westfields, Penrith. And we popped into a seat at Grilled. And I ordered a grilled burger. And I devoured that thing. Now, here's the tip. Everything tastes like heaven when you've not eaten for 7 days? Literally everything. This burger was maybe the greatest burger I had ever eaten at the time. It was delicious. I enjoyed it. The endorphins were flowing. It was amazing. Until about 60 minutes later. And my body was like, what the heck, dude? We weren't ready for that. We haven't even got our clothes on yet. We're still in bed. And so I was having cold sweats and I was shaking and I spent the whole night as if I had a gastric bug. And for 24 hours, I had no energy and I was violently ill because I broke the fast in a horrible way. Now, here's what I've learned how to break a fast. If you want to know like details, look it up. There's heaps of ice on the internet. But if you want some dot points now, here you go. Break it with bone broth first. You can get a bone broth, mix it up in some water, have a bit of a sip. Wait half an hour. Then get something probiotic and prebiotic-y, something like yogurt or kombucha or kimchi. Yeah, and you eat that stuff because you want to give the good guys in your biome, you know, the pigs and the cows, not the spiders or the skeletons, but you want to give the good guys a bit of a leg up, right? So throw some yogurt down, something probiotic-y and prebiotic-y, and then wait another half an hour. Then you want some cruciferous vegetables, something with a bit of fiber and the good cruciferous kind. That is like broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, those guys, right? Now, if you think steamed broccoli is yuck, don't eat for 7 days. I literally, no salt, pepper, butter, cheese, nothing. Literally, broccoli in a microwave, 2 minutes with some water. I got it out and I'm just like, oh, like it tasted like a barbecue chicken to me. I'm not even kidding you. Broccoli is delicious when you haven't eaten anything because your body knows what it needs. Then after your broccoli, wait another half an hour and you can have some light protein. Something with some good fats in it, maybe some fish or a bit of like chicken with some avocado for some good fats, something like that. And at that point, now your body is ready and then you can wait to the next meal and then go to town. But if you do something like that, oh my gosh, you feel amazing. If you eat a burger straight up, that ain't it. All right, that's the B. You got the B? Is how do you break the fast? The E, exercise. So I was working at a desk in that time of my life. Still do a bit now, but it's nowhere near as inactive. And what happens is, when you're not eating anything, your body's looking for energy. And so my body said, see those biceps? Yeah, they're not doing anything. Let's eat them. Yeah, sure, okay. What are those quads doing? Nothing. He's sitting at a desk. Oh, well, we'll just cannibalize them. I lost a few kilos of muscle in that week because I wasn't using it. Now, you shouldn't push it when you fast. You shouldn't try and PB or lift the hardest you've ever done. But you should just, all you need to do with the exercise department is just tell your body what you need. So do some light reps, you know, get the volume up. Do a bit of this, bit of that. Just make sure you're using your body. If you've got an active job, you probably don't need to worry. But if you're not doing anything and you're fasting, just tell it. Say, hey, I still need this. Don't cannibalize it. Use the fat instead, and it will. The S stands for salts. When I first did a fast, I didn't know about the salts. So for 7 days, or probably 5 of the 7 days, my body ached. When you're deficient in the salts, which is like electrolytes, you know that term? When you don't have enough of them, you get like muscle cramps. And it feels like you've done a full body workout, but you haven't done one, right? And the reason for this is your muscles, they kind of have two inputs. One says contract, the other one says release. And those two buttons are electrolytes. There's a certain electrolyte that does this, and there's another electrolyte that does this. When you run out of electrolytes, you get these muscle cramps and spasms because your body goes, I can't do what you're asking me to do. We don't have enough sodium. We don't have enough potassium. We don't have enough magnesium to do what we're supposed to do. And so you get all this soreness. And so how do you stop that? Salt. You just eat salt. You mix salt in your water. I used to suck on rock salt. I did pink Himalayan rock salt just to spice things up a little bit. But any salt will do. Just get to the crack, you know, like just get the salts up. So honestly, as soon as you start feeling hungry on day one, just suck on some salt. It really helps with the hunger. It keeps your body feeling fresh. And then about day three, what I like to do, I run a bath. I put the magnesium salts in the bath. Magnesium, right? And you literally, it feels like a magical potion. You're sore as anything. You get in the magnesium bath for 10, 15 minutes. You get out. You're just like, whoo. Like it recharges you. Literally does. It's amazing stuff. Don't forget salts. You can buy professional fasting salts for like $100 a box. And if you're going to do anything longer than like 4 days, you probably should do that. But if you're only a couple of days, just use normal table salt. You'll be fine. The T stands for take naps. Take a nap. I was working 3 hours drive a day for a long day with a little baby child at home, and I didn't sleep enough. It was a terrible, terrible time to do a fast like that. But when you're fasting, your body, as we talked about before, is doing so much stuff to heal you and fix you and reprioritize what's going on inside you and make you healthier and repaired, and it requires a lot extra sleep. So I reckon if you're going to plan to do a fast, like a 3-day fast or something, add an extra hour. If you normally do 8 hours sleep, just pencil in 9. Trust me, you're not going to do any of the time of like shopping for food or cooking the food or eating the food or cleaning up the food. There's another hour in your day. Trust me, you'll find it. Take a nap in the middle of the day. Get the extra sleep in. So that's BEST. The W stands for water. This is one thing I actually did do right. Just drink a lot of water. When you're hungry, drink water. 3 liters a day. You'll be peeing it out all day long. It's great. The A stands for accountability. I did this fast by myself, and it was really, really hard. It would have been so much better if I had someone to do it with me, to say, yeah, man, I'm suffering together, but this is good. What has God been saying to you during this time? How are you going? What do you need? Did you remember to lick some salt? Like, what's going on? Get some accountability. Do it together. Or if someone's not going to do it with you, ask somebody to keep you accountable. Say, hey, can you check on me in 2 days? I'm going to do a long fast, right? Got to do it together. And then the last one, the Y, is Yahweh, right? I needed a Y. Yahweh, I think, works pretty good. But don't forget that the whole purpose of this, fundamentally, is to grow closer to God, to make sure that His priorities are your priorities. And so don't neglect to spend time with Him. That time that you're not eating, that time that you're giving up, whatever it is, social media or donuts, I don't know. With whatever time and energy that you gave up, use that to go to your secret place. Spend time with God. Think about God's stuff. Figure out what your next move is in your life. What does He want you to do? Don't forget Yahweh. We got that? That's the best way, yeah? All right. Fasting is a tool for prioritizing life over death. Our world thinks that the highest value is happiness and pleasure. You should do what makes you happy. We just want my kids to be happy. I just want my wife to be happy. I just want my friends to be happy. We think that we should just pursue everything happiness. We should follow all of our feelings and do whatever they tell us. But that is what animals do. They just follow their instincts. They do whatever feels right. But we are not the animals. We have something different. In that we can be intentional. We can live with intention. And we can judge whether or not something is going to bring life or whether it's going to bring death in our life. And fasting is an incredible tool that we can use to do that. And the irony, I suppose, I don't know if it's ironic or not, but the truth of it is that when you give up the thing that you think is going to make you happy and you prioritize the thing that God wants for you, you will actually find the most fulfilling, satisfying life you could have ever wanted. You'll get the thing that you couldn't even reach before, and you'll find yourself happy along the way for sure. But also your suffering will have a purpose and it won't seem so bad because it's part of God's greater plan. Amen? So, are you going to try a fast with me? I'm trying to build into my life at the moment to do about a 3-day fast every season. So I did one at the start of spring. Wasn't the best time, but there's never a good time. I had to move a building on the back of a truck on day 2 of that fast, and it nearly killed me. But we got there, praise the Lord. And I think I'm going to do one at the start of December as well. So maybe you're feeling a bit inspired. Maybe God's saying something to you to give it a go. Start with a day. Surely you can do a day, right? Maybe two. And so what I want to do tonight, I want to break out into our break it down groups. And I want you to grab some mates and make a plan. Do a fast together. What are you going to fast? Are you going to fast Fortnite? Are you going to fast food? Is there something that God's putting on your heart that you want to fast? And can you make a plan together, yeah? Can we do that? Awesome. Let's do it.